Welcome back to the Rabid Hole. This is the first episode I've done in a little bit. First episode, I think, it's like the second episode that I've done in this little setup. If you're watching, be sure to hit the like, comment, and subscribe button, or go comment down below your thoughts on the show, what you want to see in the future. But be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow my Instagram for photography purposes and also promoting some of my other podcasts at The Bake Is Here. And on Twitter, if you want to follow along with me harassing OU fans and other college football fans alike, and that's also at The Bake Is Here. Go follow those. And you can follow this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Check out my other show, The Jake and Bake Show. But today's guest is, you know, this is actually kind of the first time I've ever done a super random interview with a completely random person. Ryan Mack, thanks for coming on. We actually got introduced to each other because you drive Uber on the weekends or whatever it might be. And you were my Uber driver the other weekend. We got to talking. You had a interesting vibe. You had music going, whatnot. Get into a little bit about that music scenario that you have going on with your friend, because I think you'll be able to explain what you do with it better. And then we can get into the discussion that we had during that Uber ride.
Yeah, man. So, appreciate you having me on the show. It was really random. I think it was a for your girlfriend, right? The request.
Yep.
So I got a call to the Lincoln Apartments. I always jump in that pool, dude. That's my summer steel pool. So I gave you guys a ride, and I happened to be playing my buddy Ben Lucian. Shout out to Ben Lucian. He works. He's a freelance writer. I think he worked for the Oklahoman or the Oklahoma Gazette. And he is a big hip hop aficionado, man. He knows hip hop better than anybody else I've ever met in my entire life. So we do this little challenge where he makes a hip hop playlist. I make a hip hop playlist, and we try to see which one scores the most points. We post just the screenshots on our Facebook and social media, Instagram pages, and whichever one gets the most likes, we deem as the winner. So you happen to be jumping in my car, and I cannot remember. I think I was playing AC Alone's Book of Human Language.
I don't know the song you were playing, but I know the vibe was like, it was hip hop. It was for sure hip hop.
Yeah, dude. It was, and that was straight up Los Angeles County hip hop. So we got some, I tend to go more West Coast vibe, and Ben, you know, he goes East Coast a little bit more than I do. So, and we just, you know, we kind of battle each other out on Spotify, and then, it becomes a really good soundtrack when you're Ubering. So,
and so what you do is you kind of gauge your riders or your customers' opinions. And at the end of the ride, they give you a little rating scale or a thumbs up, thumb down type deal. Is that how it works? And then you guys, between the two of you, kind of work on the honor system of, oh, I got, you know, five people said five star or whatever, you know, whatever the rate. I think I gave you a
8.3. Yeah, I definitely got an 8. I was for sure.
It was 8.3 or 8.6. I remember, we weren't going that far. I think we got about four songs in, maybe five.
Yeah.
If you include like the end of the first song and start of the last song or something. But overall, it was a great vibe.
Nice.
Obviously, conversation got started and continued throughout the ride. You had great music. But I think you guys should do this more. I think this should be a big thing. I mean, like, I honestly haven't stopped thinking about the idea since that Uber ride about, I mean, you should create some sort of Twitter or Instagram account for this, or, you know, if you know some tech junkie that can develop an app or something where you can actually get rated through like your Uber rides and customers, because I think that's very cool. I think, you know, I've taken probably hundreds, maybe not thousands, but I've taken a lot of Ubers, and there are some very bland Ubers, but there are definitely some really interesting people out there and definitely interesting drivers. And I think when you get the unique ones, like someone that is very conversational like yourself and also has a good thing going on where you and your friend are sending playlists back and forth to see whose playlist can have the best traction or approval rating or whatever.
We call it the hype system, but
the hype system. Exactly. Yeah.
So what we're trying to do, I think you're onto something too, as well. We were kind of just playing around to first start. what I did, and this is unfairly to you, and I don't even think you knew this, but when you guys got in the car, I was like judging them. I'm like, they look like a hip hop couple. So they got in the car and I started playing. I kept my hip hop mix going. I do have other mixes too, as well. I got a skateboarding mix from the early 90s. I've got just a bunch of different vibes going for whoever gets in the car. I've got an acoustic mix. Every once in a while, like on a Sunday when somebody's super boring, like super sad, super quiet, they'll get in the car. I'll play like some John Mayer kind of stuff going.
Okay.
So, and then, for sure, I got a country mix that I'm not really proud of, but it gets the party going. So,
you know, that's kind of like this idea I play with some friends when, you know, go out to bars or whatever. Oh, yeah. And you see crowds. And a game I like to play is, you know, everyone loves to people watch. I think everyone truly does love to people watch. And I also think people love to judge people. I mean, it's just human nature. Yeah. We just love to judge people. And a fun game I like to play is, you get, it's almost like, do you see what I, or like that game, like I Spy almost, where you're pointing out, you know, all this person was just broken up with. They dragged their friends to go out because they wanted to have a good time, but now they actually realize they just wanted to stay home, watch The Notebook, and eat a pint of ice cream or something. And you gotta like, oh, is it the guy in the polka dot shirt over there? Oh, is it the girl in that black shirt with the jacket over there? Like, you got a point. Yeah. It's a fun game because you're judging people, you're people watching, but you're also just, you know, shooting the shit. And I think it's kind of like that, where you're kind of vibing off your Uber riders and being like, all right, I think they're going to like this playlist. Or if you're just doing a set playlist for the day.
And so I kind of take it a couple ways. I feel like sometimes people get in my car, like in a really bad mood. And by the time they hear the songs, they've gotten a really good vibe going, and they leave and they're just, their day is better. Very rarely will I have somebody that will ask me like to turn it off or to be upset about it. But, most of the time it's just kind of, I think it sets the tone for the night. You know, that song, I think music has that power to do that, where
no music, you know, absolutely has, some sort of power that's beyond like very frontal, awareness. Like, you don't see it right off the bat, but like when you actually sit down and listen to something, or you hear something in a certain point in time where you're in a certain mood and it just, it hits you different, or it hits you in a certain way. Music does have that power. It's actually pretty crazy.
Have you ever done that before, where you've heard a song growing up? Like, I mean, it could be a Panic at the Disco song or something goofy like that. And then when you're in your 20s, or as you go on in life, you start to experience things and go back and listen to that same song, and all of a sudden now those lyrics completely change, man.
It has totally different meaning. You hear, you think back to when you first heard it, maybe what you did when you first heard it, or like what you were doing in that. Maybe you remember it being a spring song where it came out in the spring, and you're like, now you're listening to it in the fall 10 years later.
Yeah.
This has totally different mood and effects.
I really feel like music doesn't expire. That's like my number one.
Oh, belief. Music is timeless for sure.
You listen to like some 60s music and 70s music, and you still like, you can pull the emotion from that. You can pull the vibe from it. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been fun for that.
Yeah, it was really fun. And you know, I really think you like that idea I had is on to something, but like not for me. Like I don't want this idea. I think you really, you and your friend and whoever other Uber drivers maybe you're in contact with, you know, start like a Twitter gang where you guys are like putting out your playlist once a week. You know, every Monday you guys post them, and then every Friday or every Wednesday you post them, and every Monday you post the results from the weekend or something, where it's like, all right, I had like a 70% approval rating for the hip hop album this week. Next week I'm going to try country.
The most embarrassing thing, and I'll totally admit this on this show right now, is that I definitely had a Halloween mix going, dude, on Halloween night. And it
went you have to.
Fire, I mean,
you
straight fire.
You can't. Like, I mean, you can't not.
If you're listening to Thriller, Thriller's happening, dude. You're going to get tipped pretty heavily.
Yeah. And you know, another thing is I wanted to ask is like, what are your Uber rides like when you do get someone that is like, well, I just don't like this music. What's that like for you?
So, like it's always awkward. It's always fun. To me, it's a game of like, how can I win this person over, man? Cause that's really my life goal, is how can I not influence, that's a terrible thing, but how can I start a conversation with somebody? And by the end of that conversation, we walk out of there and we both kind of gain something from our conversation. Okay. So, I had a girl crying in my car, like a couple weeks ago, just broken up, sad, terrible. By the time we got done, listening to the song. I said, that was really embarrassing. I didn't mean to put that song on. She started laughing. We get done with the conversation and she's walking out of my car and she's like, dude, I have to go to work right now. And I'm really was not looking forward to going to work. I'm really sad. My dog just passed away, but now I feel like I'm okay to go to work. I'm feeling in a better vibe, you know? And I think that that is what every human should aspire to do. Like, I don't think that that's something that's a rare thing that I have or anybody else has. Like, we could all do that. You know, we could all.
No, just absolutely.
Especially this year, man. Cause this is
what a year it's been. And honestly, it's like, it's crazy that it's almost over, quote unquote. Yeah. I mean, it's November 10th as we're recording this. What a year it's been. It also feels like it's been like 10 years inside of one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think when you come across someone and you engage and not expect positive results, but just, you know, your intentions are positive results. I'm a pretty conversational person. If I come across a stranger in a bar or a Uber driver, whatever it may be, I'm just going to have a conversation. And if it goes good, that's perfect. If it goes bad, then like, whatever, that's not, I know it's not on me. I did my best to have a good conversation because I like having good conversations. I like seeing people's opinions on things, their thoughts on what I remember. One of the very first time, you know, when I started taking Ubers, the thing I would ask is like, how long have you been doing this?
And number one question.
Yeah. And also, what's like your what's the craziest story you've heard from someone? Not just a story like of the interaction itself. Like, you always get the, oh, someone puked in my car, or oh, someone took me into a shady neighborhood, but then all of a sudden it was like a cookout or something. Like, you get all these stories, but what's the craziest conversation you've had or whatever, you know? That's, I think, important, because that's what it is. You're getting into a stranger's car, and I think it would be weird to not talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a big thing. I think just in life, like, conversations is a lost art. But when it comes to Uber driving, I feel like I've hit 72,000 Uber rides.
Wow.
I'm an OG Uber rider out here in Oklahoma City. But I think that the number one thing that keeps me going, like, I like this job. I like Ubering, and I like it because the conversations that happen in my car are
absolutely
unique. They're so rare. They're so different. And it's fun to me. Like, it's fun to find out where somebody's going, where somebody's been, what advice they have to give, and like how in the future I can better myself from knowing this one person. It's most of my friends out here have been through other work and other jobs. But a lot of my friends are starting to become from Ubering, where I've made friends with people. They run up to me at a bar going like, dude, weren't you my Uber driver? I'm like, yeah. And then
wow.
These kind of conversations. So I do have a story, though, the craziest Uber ride I ever had. I have actually two stories.
Let's hear them.
So the first one, I'm going to preface this by saying you're going to want to call up every ex-girlfriend you've had and say, I'm just appreciative of you. The second one, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know the ending to the story. But it's a really good story. Okay.
Okay.
So the first one, this was three Christmases ago, about 2016, 2017. I want to say somewhere around there. Christmas time is always awesome for Ubering because everybody goes to Christmas parties and you get the basic girls that dress up with the ugly sweaters. Really like one of those things that you're like, I'm over the whole Christmas vibe when New Year's hits. But the whole month of December, you're making money. So I got a call down to the Mule in the Plaza District, and this girl jumps in my car. Beautiful girl. She's got to be 24, 25 years old, tall, blonde. She's wearing what I would describe as a sexy Santa Claus outfit.
Okay.
She has a little gift bag, and it looks like any type of holiday gift bag, but it's a real small one, handheld type of bag. And she jumps in the back of my car. Whenever I see a girl's name, because I don't want to be that creepy Uber driver, I pull up the front seat. So I think when your ride in particular, I had the front seat pulled up because it was under your girlfriend's name. Is that right?
No, I think it was under mine. It was Chris. Okay. Yeah.
Man, I may have just left it up then.
I think it was already up when we had arrived to the car.
Yeah. Most of the time I try to leave it up just because it's a taxi service. You know what it is.
Yeah.
So she jumps in the back seat of my car and she says, hey man, sorry, I've had a couple of drinks. We're going down to Norman. Is that okay? And I'm like, absolutely. So we go all the way down there and I'll never forget. And I could say, I'm just going to make up a name right now, but her name is Irene. Right. So, So we get down there, and I'll never forget her because this is the craziest thing ever. So we're on our way down there, and she says to me in the backseat of the car, like, hey, so what's a white elephant gift? Like, I'm not sure exactly what a white elephant gift. That's how she starts the conversation. So we start talking about that, and she gets the idea. She says, oh, like a gift certificate from the mule. Is that cool? I'm like, absolutely. I guess that'll count. You know, so we're talking about white elephant gifts and stuff. So I said,
I actually don't know what a white elephant gift is.
No, okay. So it's like one of those things that like at office parties, Christmas parties, where everybody brings a wrapped up gift, and they pick numbers. And if you're number 7, you go up and grab a gift, you open it up, and that becomes your gift, or somebody can steal it.
Oh, okay. So it's like bad Santa or those kind of, dirty Yankee or whatever.
Yeah. They're all different kind of vibes.
Yeah. And okay.
You know, you get the gist. So, so we're on our way down there. And so I said, who's this party you're going to, like out in Norman? Tell me about this. She's like, oh, it's an ex-boyfriend. I go, okay, well, keep going. So she says, we broke up in June. Awesome. Keep going. So I said, so you haven't seen him in June? She goes, well, not really. And he didn't really change his Facebook. So, his password's all the same. So I just kind of logged on and saw that he made a Facebook evite for his party. He moved down to Norman after we broke up. I'm like, awesome. So you're going to crash his party down in Norman. And this is like, I feel like I'm going to stand on a witness trial right now.
Yeah. You're like the accomplice for the hit. Right? Yeah.
Like, man, this is going to be a CSI if I ever saw one. I got really excited about that. So I said, so when's the last time you talked to him? And she's like, oh, it was in June. How long do you guys date? Well, we started dating in April. 2 months. Awesome. This is even better. She goes, yeah, we kind of broke up after I went, after I got locked up. Like,
oh, wow.
Better, even better. So you spent some time in jail? She's like, no, the mental institution and this, that. She starts going off on this real personal tangent about breaking all the glasses in the house and how the police showed up because it's her fault. And so I was like, man, I don't even really know you that well, but this is quality content right here. So we're on our way down there, and she's never been in the house before, but she's Google mapped it a million times. So I was very excited to see when she said it's going to be the fourth house on the left with the red garage door. And I was like, wow, man, never been here before.
Oh my gosh.
Don't know this guy at all. Like, this is amazing. Like, man, Irene, I love you. Like, I don't know how to say this, but yeah. So do you want to meet my mom right now? I mean, we're ready. So it started snowing. And I was thinking to myself, like, what's she going to do? How's this guy going to react to this? Like, you know, so I said, okay, so you've left a lot of this story where he's moved on, he's lived down in Norman, and you haven't seen him in a while. You're just going to show up. And she's like, well, I thought I'd put on like a really nice outfit. And this is how I know she was like that level of crazy that I've never seen really before in my life. She curled her hair. And girls don't curl their hair unless they have really good intentions of like impressing this guy. So she curled her hair completely. So I said, before we pulled up into this driveway, I said, what is the deal with the mule? Like, that's the only thing that doesn't make sense to me in this whole story. She's like, well, that's where he broke up with me. I'm like, yes, yes. Oh. So I think we're ready. I think we're ready, man. So she hit the like button on his, Evite, but it was under his name.
Okay.
So we pull up into this driveway. There are no cars in this driveway. It's pitch black in the house. And I'm thinking, God,
there's no party.
This is going to be nuts. So she knocks on the door and she's knocking, and the guy answers. His name is Dylan. He opens the door, answers, and goes, like, he's shocked. He's stunned. Like the ghost of Christmas Eve herself is right there. And he says, Irene, what are you doing here? And she's like, you know, Dylan, you put on your Facebook and this and that. He's like, we're not even friends. And she's like, well, I kind of hacked your Facebook. And then she goes down this like complete tunnel of all of the things that she told me. And I was like, man, this, by the way.
And so you're waiting just to like,
oh, I should preface that. I pulled into the driveway, my window's down. I'm like recording it on my phone because I'm like, this is going to be some quality content right here.
Yeah.
He is just stunned, and he keeps at it. Third time he asks, third time in a row, what the hell are you doing here, Irene? And she finally says, Dylan, why are you acting like this? It's a party. I brought a gift. And he goes, the party's tomorrow, Irene. What are you doing here?
Oh, no.
And that is when I hit the reverse button and drove away as fast as I could, man. I was laughing. So I was laughing from Norman all the way to Oklahoma City.
Wow, that's crazy.
You stalked this dude all the way. I mean, you curled your hair. You went out and spotted a specific gift. And the party is the next day, dude.
That is hilarious, because like, that's an extravagant like ruse.
Yeah.
All for it to be like, not, you know, it's just like, Oh, it's tomorrow. I'll be back. Forget I even did this. I'm going to do the whole thing again tomorrow.
So, like, I played out the scenario in my head so many times. Like, what happens after that? Like, does he invite her in?
Yeah.
Like, call her an Uber back to the city. That's a $30 Uber, man. Like, that's.
Yeah, I'm sure it was something like, get an Uber. See ya. And then it was like, well, I can't get an Uber. And it's like, well, I'll get you one because I want you out of here. Like, no. That's funny.
Yeah, so that was probably the craziest. I mean, I don't want to say I texted a lot of ex-girlfriends, but I definitely messaged them through Instagram and said, hey, man, you know, like, I'm glad you're married. I'm glad you got kids. I'm glad you got a but I'm really also glad that this never happened in our lives. Like,
thanks, you know, for not crashing my Christmas party the day before I have it.
Like, look, dude, you stalk, man. You stalk the right time, too. She had it 7 o'clock. It was the right time, but come
That's crazy.
So, okay. So the second one I have.
All right.
That I'm really like kind of thrilled about. This one is like very much like The Notebook, but it's very twisted like The Notebook in this sense that. So I picked up this girl from a hotel right off of Meridian, which is right next to the airport. Her name is Catherine. That's all I'm going to say because I don't remember her last name at all. I should know this. This was really early on when I started Ubering. And I thought like, OK, is this a cool second job? But I don't really know what it's going to do. And I picked her up and she was from Colorado. She was living in Colorado Springs, Colorado. She was out here for a reason. So she jumps in my car and she is like visibly shaking. Like her hands are shaking. She's very nervous. She's not intoxicated. She's not like anything else. Like she's just kind of like
job interview type nervous or something. Job
interview, like I've got a really important date coming up kind of interview.
Something like that. Yeah.
So I got this vibe because she said specifically she came through my window, which is again, not a lot of girls want to sit in the front seat, which I don't blame them at all. Like I'm a stranger, man. Why would you want to sit in the front seat? So Absolutely. She jumps in the front seat of my car and she is very much like, hey, do you mind if I tell you this story? Like, I don't even know you and you don't even know me. You only know we only know each other's first names. So I don't feel too bad, but I just got to get this out. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, so that's the kind of the cool part of this job too. You're kind of a therapist, you know?
And actually, I mean, I don't know when this was, but like nowadays even more so because you wear a mask in the Uber.
Yeah.
So like just not even Uber, but like on the street, like you can kind of do things that you might not normally do. Like maybe you're dancing on the sidewalk or something. Like you might not normally do that if people could see your face, but you're wearing a mask. Like people are going to know who you are.
That's like the pickup line these days, dude, where you're like, hey girl, show me your smile, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she jumps in the car. She's nervous. She's scared. She says, hey, do you mind if we talk? We got about 15, 20 minutes. So I was taking her basically from the airport to downtown to a specific bar, JJ's Alley. And that was very, very specific. She must've said that 5 or 6 times. So, we get in the car. I was like, what's up? She's like, okay, so, I'm a married woman. And I was I didn't ask, but all right, cool. Like, you know, and she says, and I'm going to meet somebody who's also, he's not married. And this is not an affair. And I was like, okay, keep going with this story because I'm really intrigued right now. So this girl, apparently, her name's Catherine. She dated this guy from freshman year of high school all the way up to senior year. Senior year, he proposed. They both went their senior summer after they graduated to sign up. She signed up for the Air Force. He signed up for Army. They got deployed. They served out their time. And they came back to live together in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He and her had not seen each other since their deployment for about almost 2 years. Like they had seen each other, but they had different leave times and they would meet up on the holidays. And so they were still married because they got married their summer, senior summer, right before they got deployed to their places, boot camp and all that stuff. So they rarely had that marriage time together, but they had been together for 4 years prior to that. So she, in the meantime, came out to the Air Force, was stationed out in Tinker Air Force Base right over here. And so
shout out Tinker. What a shithole.
Yeah. So she got I think she had 2 years out here, but she had, they both had served up to enlisted for 4 years. And so they had, they're basically serving their 4 year sentence right here. And she had met this guy while they were there and they were just friends, platonic relationship. Nothing happened. And she swears by that. And like, why would she lie to an Uber driver?
Yeah. Where she's already telling you a story.
Yeah. She's the one that initiated the whole thing. So she was like, I just got to tell you right now, like honest truth, never messed around with this guy. Never even thought about it. She's like, he was just a really good friend. We had these really good moments in boot camp. We had really good moments. We were both deployed together. And I share things with him that I can't share with any other soul. And so she got back to Colorado Springs. Her husband got back to Colorado Springs. They both got stationed in that area and they both started their life together. And they are maybe 3 months into this life that they're living. And all of a sudden, she gets this email from this guy, her best friend out wherever. And he says, hey, I know you're married and I know this whole thing is going on, but you're totally my soulmate. Like I didn't believe in soulmates before I met you. And I really feel like you're the one for me.
Wow.
I don't know. I know this is a bold move and I know I'm putting myself out there and being really vulnerable, but if you're ever down, here's the time, the date, the location, the place. If you show up to that, I'll know it's meant to be. If not, we're good. You know, at least I put myself
wow. out
there. I made my intentions real. And so she's telling this to me and I'm like, that's crazy, man. I'm like, oh, did your husband find out? Like what happened with this? Right. So she goes, I was really mad at him and I had this whole thing typed up. I was just going to chew him out and say like, you jerk, like what? Don't try to ruin my marriage. Like this whole thing. And she was just like, I really thought he was a friend and now he's, and she's like, and he just put himself out there. So she thought about it for a day. She went out for a jog. She like, you know, kind of hung out in the house. Her husband leaves for work, left his laptop open. Facebook pops up. It's a message from a girl that he was stationed at boot camp. The message says almost the exact same thing. Hey, I know you're married. I know we never messed around. I know you probably don't think of me like this, but if you ever had the opportunity, I would love to meet up with you in Denver like this next weekend to go do these things. And like, so if you ever have that opportunity and you're ever interested, like here's your chance. So she was like mouth open, dropped, stunned by this. And it said the exact same words. I view you as my soulmate. You're somebody I really can confide in.
That's crazy.
So she comes back and she sits down on the couch and says to this guy, her husband comes home from work and she says, hey, I saw that message. Like I, sorry, you left it open. I saw that message. What are you going to do? And he goes, what do you mean? What am I going to do? I'm going to tell her like, no way, you know, buzz off. There's no plan. And she goes, I think you should go. I think you should go just talk to her. And if you have that connection, then that's the connection. And I said, dude, you are like the ballsiest woman I've ever met.
Yeah, for real.
What kind of woman would do that? You know, that's no way.
That is crazy. But so, I mean, I guess her knowing that she has coincidentally, similar like
circumstance.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So I was like, that's nuts, man. What happened? She goes, what happened was, he came back and said, you know, I had a really good time with her. I really think that maybe we should be divorced. And I was like,
wow,
that's insane because you promoted that. Like that's,
yeah.
And I go, that's insane. She goes, no, what's more insane is guess where you're taking me
to like, see.
Oh my God. I'm driving.
Wow.
AJ's Alley, 8:30 at night or whatever on a Saturday. Coors Light was on the table. Like that was the whole thing. And so I dropped her off and she was waiting for that guy to show up. So she wrote that guy back and said, hey, I'm going to be here at this time, this day, you know, at this location. If you're there too, I'll know it's meant to be. I dropped her off. I gave her my phone number and said, if he doesn't show up, dude, hit me back up and I'll give you a free ride back to wherever, you know?
Yeah.
But if he does show up, never text me and I'll just know this is an awesome love story. And she's like, okay, cool. She never texts me.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's a crazy story. I mean,
wild.
I mean, it's crazy that like they had similar like upbringings, if you will, both, yeah. You know, high school sweethearts, then they both go their separate ways for the military. They stay married, obviously. And then like they get back to settle in a couple of years later, then they both have platonic friendships that turn into their love stories. I mean, that's a movie right there. That is legit a movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, but what I like about the situation is that neither one of them really impeded on each other's happiness.
Yeah. No, I mean,
understood the circumstances. They both understood that like we're 23, 24 years old. Like we should probably not be married right now. Like we're having,
yeah, I think when something like, I mean, she obviously put her, you know, gut on the line, saying like, hey, I saw your Facebook message. they obviously had probably a good enough marriage where it was like no big deal if someone, if each other looked at each other's messages or whatever, but like to be like, hey, I saw this, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, that, that takes a level of maturity though, that is not very common in a lot of, that's a lot of folks. I mean, that's a very mature thing to do, which I think maturity is just something that is lacking in like 90% of humanity. But
well, I wonder too, on that situation, I wonder if she had not gotten the message from that guy first, if she had opened it up and saw that, would there be a different situation? You know,
probably I would like to think that if that guy never got that message and he happened to see her messages, yeah, he might not have felt that way, because like you said, she initiated that to him, like, hey, maybe you should go see, just like go to lunch. And yeah, if lunch is good, then maybe you should pursue that. And if it's not good, then come on home.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's crazy.
Now, here's why I think that's an interesting, because I've had like I said, I've had like 7,200 rides or whatever.
That's but, crazy. That's another crazy thing that I want to ask you about, but I'll let you get on to your story.
Out, like some of them stand out more than others. And that one definitely, like, I will bank that one for the rest of my life. Cause I'm thinking, like, how did that situation work out to benefit both parties? You know?
Yeah. Well, not even both part. It benefited four people.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It didn't just benefit them. It probably benefited the other two, in the woman for him and the guy for her.
Yeah.
It probably benefited. It was all around benefit. I mean, that's wild. I mean, you don't hear stories like that often.
Quadruple win right there, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but going back to the Uber, you said you've done 7,200 Uber rides. Have they all been here in Oklahoma City?
All of in Oklahoma City. I started Ubering in 2014.
Wow. So you've been doing it for a while now. Yeah. Like you said, you're an OG Uber driver.
Yeah. So what's cool is that I've gotten a lot of cool things out of it. I got Paul McCartney tickets out of it. I've got a bunch of Thunder Game tickets. And I've met some really cool people, like some people that I can connect with later. So like I'm saying, like, all right, cool, man, this guy owns a skate shop and I'm connecting him with a local skate park vendor or something, you know? So the back and forth, and gotten a lot of phone numbers just to like connect with later on. Like, hey man, we're going to throw a party. You got to come through. And I know somebody that does this. I know somebody that does that.
So yeah,
it's been a really cool, just networking system. Like if you're into networking at all, like that.
Yeah. I feel like I was just going to say that is networking in the modern age is like, yeah, you are being an Uber driver and literally never know who you're going to come across. Like you could come across just old Jimmy that's going to the store to get a loaf of bread, but you could also come across, you know, an NBA player that needs a ride from the hotel to the airport because he just got back from vacation or whatever, or he's going on vacation or whatever. Like, you just never know who you're going to come across.
So January 2018, outside of VZD's bar, I picked up a guy named Donovan. And he jumps into my car and I turned around and looked at him. And the only reason I know this is because I was born and raised in San Diego, California, Palm Springs, California. And he jumps in my car and I was like, you're a Billabong surfer, man. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you're Donovan Frankenreiter. He's a musician. He went on tour with Jack Johnson, Matt Costa.
Okay.
And so he jumped in. He started laughing really hard. He's like, I didn't think anybody in Oklahoma would know who I am. I'm like, well, the one guy does, dude. So we went on this big tour of vinyl records all day. I mean, he gave me $200 and it was just a thing where he's like, I'm just going to pay you money and just take me to all these vintage record shops. So we just spent the day, man, me, him, his drummer, and his guitar player / bass player, who I ended up finding out, and this is how small of a world it is, as big of California as it is, my roommate in college, one of my good buddies, Jake Grundy, that's his cousin. So we had
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like this really weird vibe.
That is very weird.
Yeah. Ended up picking up like a musician and his keyboard player, drummer, all those guys ended up being part of the family too as well. So
that is crazy. You know, that reminds me of a time. So I spent some time in Italy actually when I first got into the Navy. I was in the Navy for a little bit. And when I first got to the Navy, I got stationed in Italy. That was my first duty station after basic training and A school, blah, blah, blah. Well, we took a trip up to Rome, and when we got to Rome, we were at a restaurant, and we were going from a restaurant back to our hotel because it was quite a bit a distance away, and we just didn't feel like walking that. But the Uber driver, or not the Uber driver, taxi driver, he like recognized that we were Americans. He recognized we were military, and he was super, cordial. And he like turned off his little ticker, just said, hey, 20 euro to where you got to go. We told him the hospital. He's like, 20 euro. And we're like, don't you got to, he's like, 20 euro. So we gave him 20 euro and he took us around to a couple monuments, couple locations to just show us and tell us about them. Yeah. And it wasn't nothing major. It was just like, oh, this is where they had this one event, or like, this is where, you know, whatever. It's like, it was just like super friendly, super out of his way. Yeah. Cause he didn't rush. He didn't take us straight there, which we actually didn't even want. He was like, can I take you around? We were like, yeah, like yeah. Take us around. Just do it. Yeah. If it takes 2 hours to get back to the hotel, so be it.
Yeah.
But he was just taking us around. We stopped. My buddy was like, can we get a cafe, like a coffee, you know? So he let us stop at a cafe to get coffee, got back in, and then went on our merry way after he dropped us off at the hotel. But it was just really, really cordial.
That's awesome. So that's, I've done that probably, I'm going to say probably 100 times where I've had somebody that's jumped in my car that we just make a connection where I'm like, oh, you're from California too, or you're from out of town. Let me show you the monuments. Let me show you stuff around here. And I feel like that's a human thing. Like, I feel like the ability to brag about like your city, your home city. I like Oklahoma City a lot, man. I don't know how you feel, because you're from East Coast too, right?
Yeah. So I'm actually from upstate New York. Okay. I got stationed here in 2016 and I stayed here after I got out because it is not that bad. It's pretty good here.
It's pretty like, fun it's not, here, right? Like, it's got, like,
I would rather be up near the mountains, but other than not having mountains, like, it's not that bad here.
That's the first thing you notice, huh? When you're back home or wherever else, like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like hills and real nature, other than the flatlands here.
Dude, it's weird, man. I never noticed mountains in California at all. I never noticed them. I mean, I'm sure they've always been there, but just when I come back home, years. That's the first thing I notice is that I'm like, man, look at these. And I sound like such a weirdo because I stop in front of my brothers and sisters and I'm like, dude, look at this. Look at these mountain ranges over here. And they're like, yeah. They've been here for 3,000
But then. Yeah, then they forget that you're spending, you know, years or however long you've been here out in Oklahoma, where like every time you get on the highway, it's just like, how far can you see? Because it's endless.
Yeah. It's just open road, man. Life is a highway.
Exactly.
Tell me about New York, man. When you eat a pizza, do you fold it or do you use the knife and fork?
Oh, no knife and fork. No.
Yeah, you got to fold it, right?
Yeah, I'll fold it if. So, you know, Empire Slice House.
Oh, yeah.
Empire is probably the closest to real pizza in Oklahoma.
Really?
The next best place for pizza, in my opinion, is a place up here in Edmond. It's veteran owned. It's called Oak City Pizza, Oak City Pizza Co. Okay. At the Edmond Rail Yard. It's they get their dough from Italy and they ferment it or whatever they do in grapes. And so it's super unique. It's super good. Brick oven cooking and everything. 90 seconds. It's the best. It really is them and Empire. Like, if you want like traditional New York style, Empire. If you want like Neapolitan style, Oak City.
So what do you, so Empire, what do you go for? What's your
Empire place? I think it's Figgy Stardust they got. It's like a meat lovers type thing, or maybe Figgy Stardust is the chicken. I can't remember exactly, but I know they got some weird names. They got like Figgy Stardust. They got some pig thing, like piggy.
I'm a fan of the Foghorn Leghorn. That's that
Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah, that's pretty good. But honestly, just their straight up pepperoni is really good too. Sometimes I'm not a fan. Sometimes I like just sticking to the basics, having a pepperoni or cheese pizza. But sometimes I like getting that buffalo chicken or at Oak City. If you ever make your way up there and get to stop and check it out, get what's called the Angry Bee. It's so good. It's just a pepperoni pizza with like honey drizzle. It's so good. It's so good.
A lot more pizza places are putting honey on it, and I'm not mad.
You know, actually, now that you bring it up, you know, you might have, maybe you have something that's like, oh, they do it better, and they can only do it. You said you're from San Diego, right? What is it that they might do here that you know is just like, it's just not the same? So for me, it's pizza and wings. You just cannot get pizza and wings here like you can in New York.
Well, here's my thing. And I'm going to say, I would say seafood, but there's some good seafood places around here, but I'm definitely going to say fish tacos. Fish tacos out here are trash, but, fish tacos in San Diego, Pacific Beach, Mission Beach, any of those places, you cannot get a bad fish taco anywhere in San Diego. And I think that's one of the most underrated things out there. Like, it's not just a grilled or deep fried something. It's like actually cooked
I don't think I've ever had a fish taco here or anywhere.
Really?
I'm not a big fan of fish, but I'm definitely not a fan of fish in Oklahoma, like seafood. Yeah. If I'm going to eat seafood, I got to be by the sea.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know? Yeah. It's a gamble out here, but they try. Yeah. We're trying, you know?
So you're from San Diego. What did you do there and what brought you out here?
So,
You obviously grew up in San Diego, I'm guessing.
Palm Springs, San Diego. Yeah.
So I was born
in Palm Springs. I lived in San Diego for about 7-8 years, back and forth between Palm Springs, San Diego, Southern California in general, like Long Beach, Riverside County. So, out there, I was just a student going through school, and then I actually got into radio for a little bit.
You had mentioned that.
One of the things I did was I was sitting out in my dorm in college, and I was trying to win tickets to a concert. I cannot even remember who was playing. It was like Green Day or 311. And I was really trying hard.
311.
Yeah. Well, this is that. I'm kind of aging myself now with this.
No, I mean, 311 is great. I just didn't expect that to be dropped.
There's, you know, Southern California, you know?
Yeah.
So me and my roommate were trying really hard. Oh, my roommate was like the worst, but we were trying really hard to win these tickets. And I kept calling the station, and the dude answered the phone and he says, "Hey man, like, why don't you just come down to the station and work for these tickets?" And I was like, "Okay, what do I got to do?" And he's like, "You got to be an intern here." And I was like, "Absolutely." So, I wasn't doing anything else. So I drove down there, ditched a couple classes and drove down there. And, I met this guy named Steve Hay. Passed away a little bit long ago, but Steve Hay was an amazing individual. He recruited like the best radio talent in Southern California, and he just motivated us to be better people. And so one of the things that Steve Hay did was he got a group of our college kids in our area together, and he was like, "All right, you guys are going to try to get on the radio by promoting a really bad local band, like really bad local bands as best you can. And if you can get 200 people here, I'll give you tickets to like Green Day." We're like, "Oh yeah.
Wow."
So, we like promoted the crap out of it. We ended up getting like 1,000 people there.
That actually sounds really fun to do. Like, see how many people, cause I'm someone, I like bad movies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So like, and I also like cover bands. I like, you know, Mojo's down in Bricktown. I love Mojo's. That's like my favorite place.
Nobody knows the Mojo's, by the way. I just told about 20 people about Mojo's, and people that have lived here their whole lives don't know about Mojo's.
I know.
Mojo's, dude.
Yeah, I think I might be like, other than you and two people, I might be the only person that like knows what Mojo's is. It's like my favorite place to go. But I like those types of bands. That sounds fun to like try to promote like those types of bands where it's like
we had to make the flyers. We on the flyers, we wrote down like free beer ? So
maybe you might get it.
Yeah, it might be free. We don't know. It wasn't. So we had
but you put a question mark. It leaves it open.
So we had, I cannot remember the name of the band, but the band actually made it. The band made it decently like famous. And it was like, I can't even remember the name of the band, but we promoted them and they were out in Riverside and we got them to a decent following. And it was all because we were just trying to get tickets to another concert of a really good band. So that ended up becoming a thing. And we ended up working for the promotion department. So, the radio station was KCXX X1039. And it was one of the last alternative indie rock stations out in the Inland Empire, Riverside County. It was number 33 in the nation. And so
from there,
I got to meet a lot of really cool radio people and just learn about their lives. I met this guy named Jack Brody, who's been there forever. Bobby Sato has been there forever. Just all these guys that were really, really cool that opened doors for me. Man, they would drop concert tickets. I saw every band that ever existed ever, like Coachella. We went to every Coachella ever. And so it was really cool to go through and do all those things. And then, from there, we kind of parlayed that to other radio stations here and there. And actually went back to Palm Springs, where my parents live, and worked for a radio station out there, 99.5 and 100.5 radio station. And it was R&R Radio. Did a lot of promotion for them, and I was their morning producer. And that was really cool. Did that for a couple years. Then radio is really tough to get into. Radio is really tough, especially right now, because it's just
story of my life.
It is, man. And it's one of those things that I feel like it's going to come back. I feel like there's going to be an avenue for it in some extreme. And I feel like this is a good avenue that a lot of people.
Yeah. I actually go to school for radio. That's like my main focus aside from doing podcasts really, but like radio. And photography and whatnot, but radio is like the main drive. I'd love to be. I've wanted to have a whether it be sports or just a talk radio show where I have callers. I think me having callers, it fits my personality better. Yeah. It's get that quick opinion out, move on to the next, get that quick, get a call in. What do you want to talk about? What do you want me to give you opinion on? You want me to give you a Lincoln Riley take? All right, I got you. Boom.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley, he should be on the hot seat. He should be fired. You know, something like that. Like, I think a talk radio show is just right up my alley, but you got to work to get there, and I'll be there one day.
I think drive is a big thing. You got to have drive. I've got a couple of buddies that are still doing radio. In fact, a guy I went to high school with named Mike Mazingo, who I'm definitely going to share this with. He always had a voice for radio. He always had that knack and personality for it. And then, so man, it was like, we were 10 years later. Like, I was done. I quit that radio station and I kind of was moving on toward a different career move. And he jumped into he didn't jump into my spot necessarily. I will not give him credit for that, but he definitely jumped into to my station, and he has brought that station to a higher place than it could ever be. And it has to do with his drive and his motivation. And there's another guy that I'm really good friends with named Ted Stryker. Stryker is number one on K-Rock. He's got the number one morning show right now in LA. And he was always that guy, the studio, that was like, I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it because this is what I was destined to do. And I just did radio. Honestly, my whole point of radio was it got me a lot of concert tickets. There was a lot of girls at these concerts. There was a lot of parties that were going on. And it was just a fun thing to do, to just show up to a place, jump out of a van, and you're wearing the cool like radio station rock gear.
Yeah.
And we signed autographs. No joke. We signed autographs outside of a Taco Bell because people thought we were Linkin Park.
And it was like the coolest thing in the world. So you kind of did radio more as just like something to do while you were in school, or just something to kind of transition into your career or whatever. And it was just a fun outlet and for as a job. Like, I personally, I'm doing it because like, it is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there is work that goes into it behind the scenes, but like, you know, it's such a cliche thing to say, but when you love what you do, you don't really work. Like, 100%. That's what I literally love to talk. And so I got out of the Navy, a solid career choice that I could have had, albeit a lot of other implications to that. But aside from that, I got out because I want to pursue talking. Like, you know, tell people that, like, what do you want? What's your dream? I just want to get paid to talk.
Talk the whole time. So my thing was this. I was like, I want to do a job that requires like very minimal labor. Like, as far as like actually putting in the work to do stuff, like, I just want to be able to just talk to my friends, talk to people, and I want to interview people in a way. So that was a lot of what I did in radio, was I'd show up to places and interview people back and forth and just get that sound recording, that sound bit, and then send it back to the studio, and somebody would be there to edit and do it. But so a lot of like the stuff I had to do was kind of reporting in the on the scene locations and interviewing bands and stuff, and just getting bands to open up and talk. And that was really tough. It was a lot of fun just to get to hang out with the bands and stuff. But then when you sit down with a microphone in front of them and you're like, okay, I really hate this band. This band sucks. Like, how do I get this band to talk and open up and share something secret? So you have to like start noticing things about people, and you have to start different character traits and stuff. And just, hey man, did you see those corn dogs over there? You know, and just start to open up with that. Or, man, what kind of shoes are those? Or, you know, this, that, like really stupid things. And then you just have that microphone ready at all times. It really, it takes one good moment and it'll propel your entire career. That's
exactly. That's the thing about, you know, kind of just talk about myself real quick. That's basically what I'm doing, is just waiting for that. You know, I'm going to keep doing, I do my sports show. And then I've been doing this channel periodically as I go. I just kind of, it's sports season, so I kind of got to focus on sports. Yeah. I'm in school. Yeah. I got to focus on school, but I kind of just do these as I go. And when things come up where it's like, wow, this is pretty random, I'll take an interview. When I got into the Uber and we discussed the music stuff. And then as that car ride was going on, it's like, hey, come on my podcast. Like, you should come on my podcast sometime. I think that'd be pretty cool. And it's just like, at some point, maybe it's something like this a year from now, where, you know, 100 episodes from now or whatever, where it's like someone just happens to come across me, gets on my show, and that conversation propels it. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this one.
That'd be cool, man. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. The thing I want to emphasize, because this is, some older man just dropped this on me, and you're a vet, so I thank you for your service. There was a vet that I picked up 2 weeks ago, I want to say, that dropped this. This is another reason why I'm kind of trying to tie Uber and radio and all that stuff together with this one thought. And the thought was that I picked up this old veteran guy And he had it wasn't a Vietnam hat, but he had some kind of hat. Maybe it was the golf hat that he had on. And I was taking him out to the VA, and he was just going to go there to get checked out. He had to go do something. And he had his mask on. He was really cool, really polite in the car. And so we were talking about stuff, and he said, "Don't you ever fear like people like getting in your car and doing things?" I'm like, "Man, I don't really fear that. Like, I feel like we have this really calm vibe when you get in my car." And I said, "How does somebody like you that's been in war, how does somebody like you look at this pandemic and look at all of the things that are going on in life? Like, you know, political divide, all that stuff, all just the crap that's going on with 2020. With a positive light, like, cause he's a really good personality, really good, nice guy, very soft spoken, quiet." And he dropped this amazing thing with me. He said, "Don't look at hope as a belief. Don't ever put that in the same category. Use hope as a discipline. Discipline is something you practice every day. If you practice hope every single day, you're going to get there. It's not a guarantee that it's going to get you there, but it's a promise you're making to yourself that tomorrow is going to be better than today. And today is going to be better than yesterday." And he walked out of my car, and I was like, "Damn, that is exactly what I need to do." So,
you know,
he dropped that knowledge on me and walked away like a microphone drop, like Kobe Bryant hitting 60 points on his last final. And I was thinking to myself, like, how do I recover from that? And it took me, no joke, I turned off my Uber and I drove around for like a half hour just digesting all of that information. And so,
you know, that is crazy.
Practice hope every single day, practicing hope. And it's a discipline. It's a discipline that you got to practice every single day. It's not a belief. Beliefs are that leap of faith. This is a practice, man. So you're going to get there. I know you're going to get there if you keep practicing this hope, man. Like, that's,
you know, I appreciate that. And I honestly want to end on that, because that's a hugely positive note. I want to end on that. So I want to give you, Ryan, the chance to just plug whatever it is you want to plug, shout out whatever you want to shout out. And then we'll wrap this on up.
Man, I got nothing to promote really, but if you want to add me on Instagram, I'm kind of entertaining. It's Ryan Mack 82.
Ryan Mack 82. I'll put it in the link in the description below. Yeah. I'll plug it and tag it. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Bake Is Here. Like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're finding this. Ryan, thanks so much for joining. It was honestly a pleasure.
We are influencers, man. We're influencers.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was such a pleasure. Honestly, it's the first time I ever came across as an extremely random person and got him on podcast. Thanks for doing that for me. It was a pleasure. And maybe we'll have you on next time or in the future.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep.